Welcome to the Central Live Podcast with Pastor Jim Caldwell. At Central Baptist Church in Phenix City, Alabama, it's our mission to make disciples who make disciples. Let's join Pastor Jim as he shares today's message.
He is faithful, isn't he? Always, 100%. Never not faithful, never, ever not faithful. Oh, how's everybody doing today? Oh, man, I love worshiping with you guys. I'm ready to dig into the Word. And, you know, we've been going through this series of messages called Principles of Being the Church. And we're one after number four. So which one are we? Y'all are so smart. That's awesome. We're on Principles of Being the Church, number five. And we're going through the book of Acts. And today we're going to be in Acts chapter 3. And I've got a question. I've said it a couple of times, but I want you to think about it. Why does the early church look so different from the church today? Why does it look so different? You know, they had this total dependence on God. They had a great focus on Jesus' mission, didn't they? They had a dependence on each other. We saw the last couple of weeks. They shared everything together, everything. And so the Holy Spirit was really active. There was Holy Spirit power. Y'all, we have so little power in the church today. I praise God, Kenny. I wasn't expecting that. I would have given you a mic. I mean, you were loud enough in here, but the people at home who are watching couldn't get into what you were saying. But Josie, that was a healing that was straight from prayer. And what a great, awesome thing that God does. But you know what, overall we do? We don't have much power in the church today. Maybe we need to look at the early church and adopt some of what they're doing, some of the principles of what they're doing. Not do exactly what they did. See, that's one of the problems that we get into, y'all. We start doing something and it works. And so we think that's the way we've got to do it forever. That's the way we got to do it forever. And that's just not the way God works. God works in seasons. Sometimes something that worked, you know, 20 years ago doesn't work anymore. And we have to see what God's doing and jump in wherever he's at. Jump in with him and what he's doing and the ways that he's doing it today. So what we do is we take the principles of what was happening in the early church and then we apply them to our situation today. I want us to look in Acts chapter 3 today. We're going to read the first 10 verses real quick here. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It'll be up on the screen if you want it. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'Look at us, look at us.' And he began to give them his attention, expecting that he would receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk.' And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his ankles and his feet were strengthened. With a leap he stood up and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." So we've got this guy. He's been lame from birth. I mean, it's not like something that came on later. You know, it wasn't a saw accident or something. This guy was born. He couldn't walk. He's never been able to walk. Never, ever. And so in that society, you begged. That was what you did. You begged for alms. You begged for something. And so here he is. He's this beggar. And he had been outside this gate, this beautiful gate of the temple, every day. Y'all ever ride by a particular spot in Columbus or here in Phoenix City, and you see the same people looking for the same thing all the time? Imagine for many, many, many years, somebody sitting at this gate. Couldn't walk. You had to feel sorry for them, right? Couldn't earn a living. You couldn't do anything back then. He couldn't. But Peter said, I don't have any money. But you know what? I'm going to give you what I got. I'm going to give you Jesus. And through the power of Jesus, this man was healed. Do you notice, what did the man do after he was healed? Anybody remember? He's praising God. He was leaping. I think I'd be doing that too if it was my first time on my feet. I'd be like, whoa. He was praising God. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you did. I know this was you. I've been lame my whole life. I've never even felt what it was like to walk, and here you did it. That's awesome, God. Thank you so much. You did it. And you know what? Everybody there knew this guy. I mean, it wasn't like this was some new guy that had just come on the scene. Oh, they're faking this miracle. No, this is a guy they've been seeing for years and years, sitting in the same place, and they see him walking. They know something happened. They know this was a miracle. Look on at verse 11 with me. It says, while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. See, they knew there was something special about Peter and John, but Peter had to put a stop to that. Hey, it wasn't about me. This was not about me and John. It was not in our power. There was nothing that we did. It was God's power through Jesus that had healed this man. Verse 14, it says, but you disown the holy and righteous one and ask for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. See, just like in Acts chapter 2, Peter heads back to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus had died, he was buried, and he rose again in order to give life, and he did that. They were eyewitnesses. Think about this. They were eyewitnesses that they saw Jesus on earth. They saw him die on a cross, but they saw him resurrect from the dead with their eyes. They saw him resurrect from the dead. You know, see, we have to have faith without seeing, don't we? But see, they got to see. But that's what faith is. It's believing without having to see. And I want you to think, when you really believe something, when you really have faith in something, you'll give it everything because you know it's true, right? Do you know that Peter, according to church tradition, he was hanged upside down on a cross? He would never disown Jesus. He had seen him resurrected from the dead. In fact, he told, according to the legend, he told his captors not to crucify him right side up because he thought that was an honor that only Jesus deserved. Crucify me upside down. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard about the physical pain that Jesus went through, how his lungs had pressure on them. I'll have to share that sometime. But think about the opposite effect of being upside down and everything hanging upside down. That'd have been a horrible death. Do you think he would have died that death for Jesus if he hadn't believed and known without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, right? Peter, crucified upside down. Y'all remember the apostle Andrew? Andrew was crucified in Greece on an X cross, an X-shaped cross, not a cross. Andrew, he was my friend Andrew's here this morning. We're glad to have you guys. Not this Andrew, but Andrew the apostle was crucified on a cross. You know what he was doing? Sharing Jesus. He was sharing the resurrection of the dead. Man, that was the thing, that was the killer for the message of Jesus. People finally said, I just can't believe in that resurrection from the dead stuff. And can I tell you, if Jesus wasn't alive, our whole gospel would be false, y'all. Because Jesus is alive. These people died for it. You remember Matthew? Matthew, who wrote the book of Matthew? He was impaled by spears and beheaded in Ethiopia. He was sharing Christ in Africa. Remember Bartholomew? Remember the name? We don't know much about him, really. He's called Nathanael in some places. Most agree he was whipped to death in Asia Minor. Thomas, we believe he took the gospel to India. He was stabbed by a spear in India over the gospel. Philip was impaled by iron hooks in his ankles and hung upside down to die. Does that sound painful? Yeah. Impaled in his ankles with hooks and then held upside down. See, these people knew the reality of what had happened. See, that's what gave them an urgency about going and sharing what Jesus had done, because they knew it was true. They knew without a shadow of a doubt it was true, and it was the only hope for people. The only hope. James was beheaded by King Herod near Palestine. While he was a local missionary to the Jews in Judea. See, when you believe something enough to die for it, that's faith. Are you willing to die for it? See, we live such an easy life, y'all. I'm just telling you. Now, the persecution's about to get worse. And it has, over the past 20 years, gotten worse and worse. But it's nothing here. But I'm going to tell you one day, and I don't know how far in the future this is, but one day you may be held to give an account with a gun to your head. Will you renounce Jesus the Christ? And if you don't, they're going to kill you. Would you do that? Do you believe him enough to believe that? That he's got you? That if I die with a gun to my head and somebody shoots me, that heaven is so much greater? It's tough, isn't it? But that's what these apostles, they were ready to do whatever it took to get the message out. Are we really ready to get the message out? Or are we just like, well, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know Jesus. Bless their hearts. I pray for all those people. Y'all, we've got to be sharing the gospel. We've each. It can't just be the preacher on Sunday morning. It can't just be the preacher here. It's got to be us everywhere out sharing the good news. If we believe that Jesus is the only way, we better go tell somebody. You know what? I know this is that temptation that goes into your mind. We've always got tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. Y'all, some people don't have a tomorrow. You don't know it, but there's people probably that you know that may be their last day on earth. Have you done everything that you can to help them know who Jesus is? Have you done everything that you can do to help them know who Jesus is? Would if they died, would you be able to go, man, I feel so bad. I don't think they ever received Christ, but man, it's not for me not trying. It's not for me just holding it in and you know, being fearful. Fear is one of those things that gets you from sharing with people. They're not going to like me, all that stuff. How do you think they're going to feel about you when they're in hell? Why didn't they tell me? Why didn't they tell me what was coming? Why didn't they tell me about this? When you believe enough to die for it, that's faith. Do you believe? Do you believe? Acts 3:16 says this, "And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man who you see and know. The faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." So faith, this miracle was done on the basis of faith in Jesus. So whose faith was it? The lame man or Peter and John? How about yes? I think it was both, right? I think the lame man had to have faith in Jesus that he could be healed, right, to jump up. But Peter and John, I mean, think about the faith it took to boldly say, hey, stand up and walk, it's time. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was moving in their lives, showing them what to do, what to say. But are we willing when God tells us to do something that sounds crazy, are we willing to do it? I mean, you got to make sure it goes along with Scripture and lines up with what we know about His Word. But if God tells you to do something, you better do it, right? Yes, we're not allowed to say no to God. Do you know that? That's called sin. When God shares something with us, it's important because He's looking out after our best. So they all three had to have faith for this to happen. Verse 17, it says, "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Again, here goes Peter. He's just preaching that gospel over and over, right? Repent, turn. Jesus died. He rose again. Turn from your sins so that they can be wiped away. Verse 19 is kind of a time of response. He's saying, okay, because of what Jesus did, here's what you need to do. You need to repent and turn to Jesus. That's what he's saying to do. Repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus. That's what happens at salvation. But you know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't stop convicting us, and we don't stop repentance the one time that when we get saved. Does that make sense? When God shows us things in our lives that are not living up to His standards, that's called sin. And when He shows, through the Holy Spirit, He shows in our life that it's not good for us, we are to repent, to turn to Him. If you've never turned to Jesus in faith before, man, today's the day you need to do that. If you've never done that. But you know what? If you have done that, what's God putting on your heart? Well, what's He showing you that you need to repent from, you need to turn from, so that you can walk with Him, listen to Him, be able to hear Him? Look at verse 20 with me. It says, "And that He may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient time." See, Jesus went to heaven, but He's coming back. Are you ready? Are we ready? See, this is what the prophets of old spoke about. Look at verse 22 and 23. It says, "Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall utterly be destroyed from among the people.'" See, not receiving Jesus in this lifetime, it brings the ultimate destruction. It's eternal separation from God. Do we really believe that? See, because I think we find it easy to believe that for us. But it's harder for us to believe it for the people we're having contact with every day. That really, this could be it. This is my opportunity to share with them. And if I don't do it, it may not happen. Y'all, we got to take some responsibility for the people around us. We've got the message. Are we willing to share it? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of introverted. It's not the easiest thing for me. Devil pulls all the fear cards, all that kind of stuff. I'll admit, you know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years now. It's not as hard as it used to be. But I'll tell you this, it's always, always the right thing to do. You listen to the Holy Spirit. You're looking for opportunities as you're going through your day. And when you get an opportunity to share about Jesus, you share. You just get bold. You don't have to do it in your power. The Holy Spirit does it in and through you. Some of y'all are awesome extroverts. I always wished I was this extroverted, you know, guy. It's not even hard for you to talk to people. Are you sharing the gospel with the people that you know? Are you giving them the opportunity to receive this Jesus that's made such a difference in your life that you're sitting here this morning and you're believing that God has salvation for you? Are you sharing with them? Y'all, it's our responsibility. Look at verse 24 with me. It says, "And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announce these days. And it is you who are the sons of prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' For you first God raised up his servant, sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from his wicked ways." See, Peter's calling his audience, turn from your sin, turn to faith in Jesus. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? I'm talking about surrendering your life to him. I'm not talking about this one-time prayer that really didn't make a difference in your life. I'm talking about, have you really given your life over to him for him to use? Are you living for him instead of living for yourself? See, God gives us this choice all the time. Even after we've received him and we know him, he gives us this choice of who to put on the throne of our life. We can put ourselves, and man, that is so easy to do. You find yourself, everything you look at, you're looking at, how's it going to impact me? What's in it for me? It's all about me. And when you start living for Christ and you start allowing him to live in and through you, you start recognizing that it's not about me. It's all about others. It's all about the people who don't know him. It's all about the people who aren't here yet. It's all about everybody else. It's not about me anymore. It's really about him. And it's about his mission and what he has for us and what he wants us to do, what he desires for us. See, even trusting God for the first time is an act of faith. Look at Ephesians 2:8 with me. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." What is the gift of God? Well, I used to think it was only talking about grace, that grace is a gift of God. And that sounds right, and it is right. But you know what? After looking at that verse for years, I believe the faith that it talks about is also a gift from God. You know, God will give you whatever faith you need for whatever situation you're in. Do you believe that? He'll give you what you need when you need it, but you have to be surrendered to him. You can't be with you on the throne of your life. When you're on the throne, he can't be on the throne. It just can't happen. It can't happen. God gives us that faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance of things hoped for. Man, this kind of hope is a sure hope. It's not a maybe kind of thing. It is a sure hope. And it's the conviction of things that are not seen. It's that you know something's true that you haven't seen. Like the resurrection. I hadn't seen it, and I hadn't seen Jesus resurrected, but you know what? His power in my life, that's evidence. His power working in and through us is evidence of what God can do through a person who is open and just surrendered to him. See, faith in Jesus is just believing what he says over anything else. Over anything else. That includes what we feel, what we see. I got to tell you, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Y'all recognize that through life? Sometimes just bad things just happen to people. And I think that's when we really get tested. That's when our faith really gets tested. Is do we still believe when we're going through the tough stuff of life? And I promise you, if you're not going through it now, you will. That's just life. We have ups and downs. If you can just look at things through his eyes, believe the promises that he has in here for you. I tell you, the one I go back to all the time, especially when things are going bad, he will never leave me or forsake me. Do you believe that? That's a promise, y'all. That's a promise out of Scripture, out of the Word of God. And he says he's not going to leave me or forsake me. Does it feel like sometimes he's left me or forsaken me? I've gone through those moments. You ever felt like that? Where you felt like God was gone? What happened? My prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Sure. That's when we get to determine do we have faith? Because faith says, okay, God, I don't understand this. I don't see the why. I don't understand it at all. But I'm going to follow you because you're with me. And I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting myself, my flesh. I'm not trusting anything else. I'm just trusting you. Are you fully trusting Jesus? Is Jesus your life? See, Colossians 3:4 says this. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. Is Jesus your life? Think about that. Not a part of your life. Is he your life? Is he your everything? Is he number one in everything in your life? Do you allow him to have the control that he desires? It's a big difference. It's a big difference between just being a part of our life and being our life. It's a big difference. We are his for his use. Principle number 5 says this. Faith is the activator of God's promises. We must live a life of faith in Jesus. See, by faith, God promises salvation for those who repent and believe. See, by faith, God promises to be present in your life. See, by faith, God also says he's going to meet every need that you have, right? But it's all by faith. By faith, God promises that all things will work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. By faith. By faith, God promises we will bear spiritual fruit when we abide in him. You believe that? See, it's all by faith. Faith means that you believe it enough to act on it. You believe it enough to trust. See, when God makes a promise, he activates those promises by our faith in him. You see that? Does that make sense? Everybody with me? His promises are always true. But they're activated in our lives when we believe him enough, when we trust him. Because when we have faith in him and in what he has said and act on what he says instead of what we feel, how we think, any of that kind of stuff, he's going to come through. It may not always look like you think it should. I found that out so many times. But you know what? You look back and you go, wow, I didn't see that, but I never would have seen that. God, thank you. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for pointing me in this direction. Thank you for doing that for me. So here's my question. Are you living a faith-filled life? Are you living a faith-filled life? See, when we look back at Acts 3, we see that that miracle that we just talked about today, it was brought about by faith in Jesus. It was pure faith. You know what I found? That God doesn't say yes every time I pray for healing. You ever notice that? He doesn't always say yes every time I pray for somebody's healing. So should I stop asking for miracles because he doesn't do it every time? See, I don't think so, right? We keep on praying. I don't want my lack of faith to mess up somebody else's healing, right? Could that happen? What do you think? I think it could. I think our disobedience, it has consequences, y'all. When God prompts us to pray for somebody, we better pray in faith. We better pray trusting that he can do whatever he says he's going to do. You know, what if Peter, when he was talking to the lame man, what if he had said, God told him to tell him to rise up and to walk. What if Peter had just gone in there and said, hey, John, grab an arm. We're going to take him into the temple so he can hear the message today. You think he would have been healed? See, I don't think so. I think Peter was told what to do. The Holy Spirit was telling him what he needed to do. You know, is grabbing somebody to go to church a good thing? Nod your head this way. Y'all look like y'all are kind of deer in the headlights here. Okay, nod your head this way. See, when God moves, when you are having faith, when you are trusting him, and you obey what he's telling you to do, you pray for the thing he's asking you to pray for. You, no matter how bold or crazy it sounds, you pray, you act, you do what he's telling you to do. Your faith is going to grow. You know, there's nothing special about Peter. He's just a guy, just a normal guy. He had anger issues. He had problems. But you know what? He surrendered his life to what Jesus wanted to do with him. And when he surrendered his life, look what happened. He gave his life for the gospel and died upside down on a cross. You know, God still works miracles. I couldn't have fit better with my message, Kenny. Talk about Joseph. God still works miracles. He hadn't stopped. I believe a lot of times we don't get the miracle because we don't really believe. We don't really think he can do it or will do it. Or it's just, we don't really have faith that God can do what we think are the really big things, right? The really big stuff. So we don't think that the God that with a word spoke the world into existence can take care of the big stuff, a healing or whatever it is. When you think about it that way, it makes you think you're pretty dumb, or it makes me think I'm pretty dumb, right? It's like, how can I not? The God who spoke all this into existence, how can I not believe it? See, faith is an activator of God's promises. I encourage you to pray for faith. You know, the song we sang today, Give Me Faith, that's what that is. It's a prayer for faith. God, give me faith to trust what you say because you're good and your love is great. Give me faith. There's not that. I guarantee you, God will honor a prayer like that. God will honor a heart that's turned over to him like that. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a bold, confident faith in Jesus? Is your faith in Jesus so bold and confident that you're out sharing with people on a day-to-day basis? You're letting them know what Jesus has done for you, how good he is, how wonderful he is, what he's doing? Because that's what all of our faith needs to look like, y'all. We all need to be out sharing. We all need to be telling everybody we know from the top of the mountaintop Jesus did this for me and he can do it for you. Are we willing and are we ready? Because the only thing holding us back is our disobedience. I want you to stand right now. I'm going to pray in just a second. We're going to have a time of response. I believe the gospel deserves response. We shared about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection today. And that's the truth. That is the gospel. And when you believe in him, it's not just believing a set of facts about him. It's believing in him enough to act, to change your life, to allow him to control your life. If you don't know Jesus and you're here today, you'd like to know him, I'll be right down front after this prayer. Maybe today God's shown you something in your life you need to get rid of. It's time to repent, to turn from it. Let's let him have victory in this place today. Maybe there's a bold prayer you need to pray. The altar's going to be open down front. I'll be down front as well. As the Spirit leads, I want you to come. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we look to you this morning, I thank you that you're moving in this place. God, I thank you for your gospel, your good news. Lord, it is good news. Don't let us keep it under a basket, but let it loose. God, I pray this morning that people will listen to your Spirit and obey what he is saying this morning during this time of response. And we give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Central Live podcast. If you'd like more information, visit our website at centrallive.org.